We're back, episode 62, man. Time flies, you know. I got the new gray beard look going on. Maybe, you know, bearded bean shooter. What do you think, Justin?
It's all right. Good look for you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Should I do the just for men? Come here with a jet black?
A touch of gray.
Yeah. No, you can't. Tonight we got a good guy on. What a character and what a good person. Just a gentleman. You know, he's got a few things going on. He's got a nice little merch line. You see me wearing his hats a lot on this podcast with the little stick of dynamite on it. He is a caddy on the PGA Tour. And he's also, I don't want to say somewhat of a handicapper. He's a good handicapper. There's not many out there that actually know what they're doing and you know, play smart. Anyone can throw picks out there, but you know, he's one of these guys, you know, you're not going to see him giving out parlays. And he's a shop, what we call a shop. And he's been very good to me and good to the guys in my sober house. And I want to welcome Dynamite Dean Emerson.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
What else can I say? He gets busy.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to call me a gentleman. I don't know about that. That's part of his stick, isn't it? Yeah. Like a gent?
Yes, yeah. Like a gent. That is part of my stick.
By the way, you look tough. Yeah. Tougher with that thing.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a badass. Might roll with it, you know? Who knows? Usually, you know, sometimes in the winter I'll go, but I've never had it like where I, you know, like this. And now it grows in all fucking white because I'm ancient. And speaking about getting old, you hear what happened to me this week?
No, what happened?
You hear what happened to me?
Uh-uh. Fill me in.
You almost lost me this week.
Oh, boy.
You almost lost me this week.
Too many cheesesteaks?
That's now I'm tackling that issue next. So a year ago, me and my girlfriend, who I'm back with, we were broken up for 3-4 months. Shin, she's from China. We flew, she went to China to visit her parents. Then we went to Thailand and we spent like 3 weeks. And when I went on this flight, it was a 21-hour flight. And when I got off, my calf was killing me. It was like I ran a marathon. I'm like, why is my calf hurt? And then people were saying the compression up in the ear, you should wear compression socks. So well, last year, a couple times when I flew somewhere, it bothered me. And like 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, it started hurting again. And I'm like, it's like visible. I'm like limping, right? And my calf is super tight. So I go to her, I get a massage. It's still real tight. And she says to me, you probably get a blood clot in your calf. Call up your doctor and make an appointment. So I'm like, Shin, I don't get a fucking blood clot in my leg. It just gets tight. She goes, make an appointment with your doctor. So, you know, I make an appointment. And he makes it like 8 days away. And she says, you should change it and go in right away. That could be something that could be fatal. No.
Stubborn.
Go into my doctor Monday. Go over a few things. My fatness. A few other things. And I tell him about the calf. So he checks it out. He's looking at both of them. He says, I'll put you in for an ultrasound. He goes, where? He goes, Tufts or Newton Wellesley? And his nurse goes, Tufts is usually real busy. And Tufts is out near me in Burlington near Lowell. And I'm like, I'll go to Newton Wellesley. I'm thinking it's going to be like a week later. I'm driving home right near Burlington. Tufts calls me. And if Newton Wellesley would have called me, I wouldn't have went. It would, you know, I'm already almost back in Lowell. So I go, oh, yeah, I'm right here. Come in at 1 o'clock. So the lady's doing the ultrasound on my leg, and I'm, you know, I'm talking to her. She's a Cambodian lady, and I said, so do I have a blood clot? She says, you have a very big blood clot in your
Holy
calf,
fuck.
And this is very serious, and you cannot leave the hospital. I said, why? Because if I leave and drop dead in the parking lot, I can't sue you? She goes, well, your family wouldn't be able to sue us. But yes, that's the reason you cannot leave.
Wow, fuck.
So fucking shit. I don't know why I got back with her, you know?
Well, she nailed it. She knew what was wrong with it. She knew. So what'd they do? Give you thinners?
Yeah.
Blood thinners?
Yeah, blood thinners and all this stuff.
Oh, my God.
Now.
Fuck.
The fuck? Blood clots?
It's from all that flying and shit.
I don't know. What is it from?
I don't know.
Shit, am I truck driving around like a lazy
It could be that. I don't know. I don't know. You got to start foam rolling, maybe.
Yeah?
Maybe. I don't know.
But yeah, enough about me and my myriad of problems getting old.
Yeah. Well, we're all getting old.
Getting old sucks, you know?
Mm-hmm. It does. It's sad. Yeah, never think the day is going to come, and here it is.
Yeah, here I am. Yeah. Blood clots.
I'm glad you're all right, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Dean. Mm-hmm. So, Dean, tell us a little bit about yourself growing up and how you ended up around my way and just, you know, a little bit about your story, whatever.
It's a long story, but I'll try and make it short. I grew up, family's from Lowell, but I grew up in Merrimack, New Hampshire through my younger years and through high school. And then I went back to Lowell when I got a job with Pfizer Pharmaceuticals. So that was my territory. I sold some.
Do you still have any of the samples from Pfizer?
I don't have any left.
I know a few things that
I sold about 9 different drugs for Pfizer. Some of the good ones, too.
Yeah.
Some of your favorites.
Yes.
And then I got laid off. I was with them for about 7 years, got laid off, and found an opportunity down in North Carolina. So I packed up my 4Runner, drove down to North Carolina, and launched this medical lab company. It's Blood Diagnostics.
Oh, really?
And then life's funny. I joined this country club. This kid asked me to caddy for him in the United States Amateur Championship, and he ended up winning the tournament. And then my caddy career kind of took off.
Wow.
Yeah. One thing led to another, and I end up on the PGA Tour caddying.
That's fucking awesome.
It's kind of weird where life puts you, but as you know, I wouldn't be there if I wasn't sober. I could tell you that.
Yeah.
Going on 20 years in September.
It's been that long.
Before we go any further.
Yes.
I didn't come empty-handed.
No, you never do.
I got you a nice gift.
Bathrobe.
Oh, no. You open that thing up. You got to wear that when you go on your paper routing.
What do we got in the back? The Dynamite Collection. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm going to use this for?
What?
If I ever buy like a house, I'm gonna come out like Soprano. I'm just gonna have someone drive by every day and throw a newspaper out the window. Yeah. I'm gonna walk out to the end of the driveway and pick up the newspaper.
I figured
and walk back. What
when
do you think,
go dude? Collect your money on your paper route, you can wear that. I get you a couple
there
hats.
Go though. Some hats. Oh, this I get some yellow shorts
and a beanie for winter's coming.
Oh yeah, nice. Look at this one. Yellow. Check out this one.
That's like the Steelers football one.
You know what? You know, we always didn't like the Steelers being Patriots fans and this and that. But I couldn't stand Mike Tomlin, but I respect the guy now.
He's made the playoffs every year. My brother trains one of the players for the Steelers.
Really?
Peyton Wilson. Yeah, he's a linebacker. Nice. He trains him down there in North Carolina. So anyways, that's a little bit about me. That's how it's a real short version of how I got to caddy on the PGA Tour. And my guy didn't make the playoffs, which started today. Yeah. And so we have a couple weeks off till the fall season kicks off.
And you travel all over the place. It seems like a dream job. I mean, I don't know what it's like out there on the course, you know?
I think that's what most people, I mean, you're not a real golfer, right? You don't
really,
yeah. So most people think it's a dream job. And if you can't be the guy hitting the shots, you're right next to the guy hitting the shots. But there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, I mean, I can only assume, right? You make the wrong call and you're, you know.
My guy's, he's been a pro for 10 years, so he knows, you know, most of the courses he's played. He's really just looking for a lot of reassurance. Where's the wind? Things of that nature.
So, like, the day before, you go out and you scout things and walk down the course by yourself, or you go out and hit a few balls around?
No, I don't hit any balls. No. We don't do that. We go, Monday's a typical travel day. You're traveling from one event to the next. Tuesday, you start your practice. Wednesday's a pro-am day where the pro plays with four amateurs that pay to play with these guys.
Oh, all right.
And then Thursday starts the tournament.
So, can I pay to play with these guys?
Yeah, it's like 10 grand.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. These guys are ponying up 10 grand to play, 18 holes with these professionals.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not cheap.
Yeah. They probably get the money to do it though.
Most of them are corporate guys, big corporate guys that have that kind of money that go and play.
So the first championship, you said the kid you caddied for won the amateur thing.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Scratch? Something like that?
Nothing. They're amateurs, so you don't make any money. This was a kid that was caddying for me at a course I belonged to down in North Carolina called Old Chatham. He had asked me to caddy for him up here at the Northeast Am in Rhode Island. And I was like, I don't know how to caddy. I don't know what I'm doing. He goes, well, you can use range finders. So we used a range finder that week. He finished sixth. His name was Doc Redman. And then a month later, he asked me to caddy in the USAM at Riviera in California. Wow. And he ends up winning. And then like a month later, this guy, Rob Oppenheim, he's a local guy. He's from Andover.
Yeah.
He called me and said, hey, do you want to do the Korn Ferry Finals with me? And the top 25 guys earned their PGA card. And he happened to earn his card and said, the bag's yours if you want to caddy on the PGA Tour. Really? That's how it happened. I mean, there are guys that spend 15 to 20 years trying to get a bag.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work out. So it's weird how
just fell into place. Life,
yeah. Yeah, it's just, you just shake your head sometimes.
And if you don't mind me asking, how's the pay? I mean, it depends if you're winning or what, but I mean, what if it's...
It does. So like you get a standard weekly rate, regardless of he makes the cut or not. And then you get a percentage if your guy makes the cut. And, standard is probably around 7%.
All right.
But I think some of the top name guys may just get a salary, like... Scheffler's caddy may be on a salary now, but he also may not be. I don't know how they work that out, but
yeah, who knows, right?
But the pay can be good if you got a guy that's making a bunch of cuts, and could be lucrative.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, there's a very small percentage of guys that get to caddy for these best players in the world.
Yeah.
So I took that opportunity, and somebody gave me the opportunity, and it's been pretty cool.
How often you're on the road?
Shit. I mean, I just get an office 6 weeks, and I was 6 weeks in a row. I think we did 30 tournaments this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Season starts in January. And that's the thing, you're like, oh, it's dream job. We start in Hawaii. Then we go to California. You've never been to Hawaii?
No.
No, it's a good take. I was surprised at the homeless in Hawaii. Like, that surprised me when I got there. There was a lot of homeless folks on the beach, but I guess if you're homeless, that's probably a good place to be.
Yeah. Unless you're like me, a ginger. Then you don't want to be in the alley.
Yeah. You're
falling asleep. Oh, fucking sorry. They don't sleep though. They're on ice out there, right?
Yeah.
I know that from watching Dog the Bounty Hunter. You ever watch that, Justin?
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah.
Dog, is he still floating around?
I don't know. I don't think he outlived Ozzy.
I don't think he's doing well. I heard he ran into some health issues.
Really?
Oh, did he?
I can relate.
Yeah, me too. Not good. Not good.
So, Dynamite, when did you start gambling, if you don't mind me asking?
When I was 15, maybe?
Yeah.
You remember the cards? The football
cards?
Those would float around high school and... I started doing that. My father was a big poker player. He'd have guys over the house playing cards or, he'd be at the club gambling and the kids would be there. I got two older brothers and a younger sister and she was never around, but the boys were watching him play. So 15, I'd say.
Started gambling. When did you think you could turn this into something that might be a little lucrative and make some pocket money?
Well, I think you're delirious if you think you can make a living out of it, right?
Whoa.
You go in waves. Like, I mean, I've been in the business 35 years, right? And when you're younger, you're shooting for the stars. You're betting, you're chasing, you're doing all that stuff. And I think I've matured quite a bit to where I think I know what I'm doing. And as far as giving out the picks on the Dynamite show, that came about during COVID. I was kind of floating around the house talking about who I was going to bet. And my wife was like, well, if you think you're so good, why don't you put it out on Instagram? And I said, I don't know how to use Instagram. But the boys did. My boys did. So they showed me how to do it. And I've been doing it for 3 years now, just giving out free picks on Instagram and doing it, like you said, conservatively, where we're trying to make some money the right way and not chasing stuff. And I give out the picks for free. Yeah. And people were like, why don't you start a subscription? And I was like, I just didn't feel right because I want to rest my head at night thinking, okay, I gave out the picks, they're free. I don't want somebody losing all their money. But with that being said, my track record's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, especially in NFL, it's damn near impossible. The best guys in the world, right? What is it? If it's 52%, what is that?
Yeah, I think 53% is considered decent.
Imagine that. I mean, that is fucking.
I think I was 58% last year.
Yeah.
CFL, I think I was 63%.
The Argonauts.
Argos, yeah, Toronto. Is that the only team you know?
Yeah,
the Argos. You don't know the Alouettes, the Montreal Alouettes.
Yeah.
I think that there's actually a game tonight. BC Lions and Hamilton Tiger Cats are playing right now.
Really?
I wanted to put out the under. It was 56, but I got tied up in here. And
yeah, more importantly, we got Braintree playing in the.
Yeah.
Little League World Series. What do we got? It was 3-1. What's the score?
2-2 right now.
Oh, Bedford, New Hampshire. Look out.
Yeah,
I like New Hampshire tonight.
He handicapped Bedford, New Hampshire.
Sorry, Braintree.
Did you go see them in person the other night?
No, I was watching it on the couch. They were on in the afternoon, and I was watching them play, and then I watched Florida and South Carolina play before that. That was a pretty good game. South Carolina walked it off.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoy watching those little bastards.
So who do we got tonight? We got Baltimore Ravens playing?
Ravens are playing. Then you've got Seahawks are playing the Raiders later tonight, 10 o'clock. And then you got the Eagles and the Bengals. But preseason, I usually just kind of watch and kind of learn and study who are the backups, what do they look like. I probably won't bet NFL. Usually I don't bet till like week 3.
Well, preseason's a lot different now than it used to be, too. Right?
Yeah, it is, but I mean, there's lines
so
on
worried
it. You can bet
it now, right? I mean, there's nothing worse than that. When you see a guy go down, a week before the season with a torn ACL, it happened last year, right?
JJ McCarthy the Vikings.
Yeah, that's fucking worse.
He went down, and I had the opportunity a couple weeks ago we were playing in Minnesota, and I went and watched the practice because my brother trains one of the receivers for Minnesota, and we went there and we watched practice, and McCarthy was out there zipping the ball around and stuff. But I tell you what, that J.J. Jefferson is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You should see that guy come off the line. It's incredible.
Yeah.
But I don't know if their total wins was 9.5.
That's very high.
I like the coach. So I would never kind of bet against him. Yeah. But, I mean, it's just business. I'd take the under 9.5.
No, what are the Patriots?
They went from 4.5 last year to 7.5 this year.
Oof.
And, I mean, I love Vrabel. That guy's fucking great.
You got that little dust up the other day or something? Did you see that?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, the players love it, too.
Oh, yeah. They like playing for a guy like that. I think he got involved in the play or something in a scrum and got banged up. Like, he can't help himself. He loves it. But, yeah, I don't – the Pats, I think it always – they brought in some good people. Coaching's great. 7.5 going from – 4.5 to 7.5 is a big jump. But and I'd probably just stay away from that one and just watch it. Watch the season progress.
Yeah, like you said, it's tough. It's tough to give out picks the first 2-3 weeks. You don't know what's going on.
You really don't. That's why and that's a learning thing too. That's experience. I mean, I've been betting for 30 years, and you try betting week one and I never had success doing it. So you learn. You're like, let's just wait a couple weeks.
I mean, it's a coin toss anyway, most of the time. But the first week, forget about it. I mean,
Yeah. But people can't help themselves. They got to bet. There's people betting millions of dollars tonight on preseason stuff.
That's crazy. Did you ever hear the Artie Lang degenerate gambler routine?
Howard's guy?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you got to watch Artie Lang. Go on YouTube, put on Artie Lang degenerate gambler. He starts out, he says, you know you're a degenerate gambler when you've lost $5,000 before the Super Bowl even starts on the fucking coin toss. Yeah. He goes, every year from when I was 18 years old, I had at least $5,000 on the coin toss. He go, I'd be at one of these Super Bowl parties. You just hear me, fuck! Like everyone's turning around, like, fuck this guy screaming about, you know? He's like, they don't know. I just lost my mortgage on the fucking coin toss, you know? But it's sick. Oh, it's great. It's a great skit. Yeah.
That fucking hurts. Right?
Lang's the man. Yeah. So first few 3 weeks. Now, who do you like to go all the way? Are you gonna pull a Peter King here? Do you got any Doc Knights? Do you got any
I've made two futures plays. One of them I just talked about. I don't really wanna, you know.
Yeah.
But the other one is I like the over to Jacksonville Jaguars total wins at 7.5. So that's the other one I took. So those are my two futures plays right now.
Under and over.
Yeah. But as far as the Super Bowl, I haven't made a futures play. College-wise, I'm leaning towards Texas winning it all. Yeah. I had Ohio State last year. I had Michigan the year before that.
Yeah.
I had Travis Hunter last year win the Heisman at 32-1. So I got to, this is my time. Like the next couple weeks, I dive in.
Yeah,
I dive in and do some research.
I've never been to a big college game. I've been to BC games. I've never been to a big one. And Tom Brady's, I tell people a story. Tom Brady's first game back after the 4-game suspension was in Cleveland. And I went on a road trip down to Cleveland. And when I was down there getting ready for the game, like I woke up Saturday morning in my hotel and I'm like, oh, fuck, I wonder if, you know, Ohio, and I looked and Ohio State was playing that day. And it was like 2-hour drive, whatever it was away. And I'm like, it was like last second. And I didn't do it. Big regret of mine.
Oh, yeah.
Big regret. Yeah. You know, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to see a big time college game. Yeah,
never seen it. So this year, a kid from Chelmsford, Thomas Brown. You
know, Brown? He's playing at Villanova, right?
Yeah, he's playing at Villanova. Yeah. Thomas Brown, national champion, heavyweight champion wrestling out of Chelmsford. Great kid. He's playing for Villanova this year, and, you know, he's a freshman. I don't know if he's going to be on the field or what's going to happen. But I saw him at the Folk Festival in Lowell, and he said the second game of the year is in Happy Valley against Penn State. And I'm like, right when he said it to me, I'm like, I'm fucking
there going you
that.
Go. Yeah,
I'm going to that game, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah, you got to go to that one.
Have you ever been to a big college game, Justin? I heard you can hear the rumble, like the noise.
Yeah,
like
yeah, it's what South Carolina Clemson.
Oh, really?
I've actually been to Virginia Tech, and you know the guy that I went with was a Virginia Tech grad. He's like, wait till they come out of that tunnel, they start playing Enter Sandman.
Yeah,
the whole stand, I'm not shitting you, the whole stands were shaking just up and down. I'm like, oh my god, this is fucking crazy. It was pretty neat. I mean, that's not a Penn State game, but play that song and those guys come out of the tunnel, you kind of get chills.
You'll know this game, but I was out and somebody mentioned it the next day. I said I was going to Villanova and they said, I got tickets to this game. And I'm like, that's going to be the craziest thing. Because the night before, I met a couple of guys. One was from Oklahoma or something. And they were in Ben Cotto in the North End. They were sitting with Spiro at the bar. And we started talking. They came to Boston. They went to a Red Sox game that day and the Sox, you know, been on a heater. They crushed it. They came back that game and won. And we were talking. I was telling them how I'm going to go to Penn State. And they said, if you ever want to go to a college game, what is it, Oklahoma, Texas Tech, whatever it is,
Oklahoma, on the Dallas Texas State
Fairgrounds. Yeah, they said it's like divided down the middle.
Oh,
like
yeah.
It's half Oklahoma, half Texas fans. They said it's bedlam.
Oh, I bet.
And the next day, someone goes, oh, I'm going to a big game this year. They said, I'm going to that, you know, that game.
Oh, yeah.
Texas. I'm like, that'd be a good one.
Florida, Georgia would be a good one, too. Yeah. The largest cocktail party, they call it.
Yeah.
That's a good one, too. Yeah.
Gators.
Yeah.
Any of those Florida State games, they used to be huge.
Yeah. Any of those SEC games?
Yeah.
Those would be big ones to go see, you know?
Yeah. But Penn State, I heard Penn State is
That'll active. Be a blast.
Yeah.
And for everything I hear, the kid should see the field.
Yeah.
I mean, he's actually a pretty good player, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, he's not wrestling in college, you know? So,
I mean, football at that level, it's a full-time job.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, my stepson was a quarterback at UNH, and I mean, it's a full-time job.
UNH, did I ever tell you about when UNH hockey put me in their warm-up song?
No.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
What?
People were coming out on the ice and they heard it and they're like, wait a minute, did I just hear fucking Bean Shooter? Let me find this now. Yeah, so I had people call me up that were at the game. Then I had some people that were saw it on like Messing or something.
What do you mean they put it in a song or
Hold on. Let me see if I can find this.
Watch out for that fresh air things.
People got the game. Like, did I just fucking hear bean shooting a leap?
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah,
you know. Oh shit, that's
all. That's baby.
That's awesome. That is good stuff.
The enemy isn't happy about that.
Oh shit, that's funny stuff. Yeah, that's awesome.
So, quick, you know, your nephew and your brother. Huh? I didn't know about your brother or brothers and training.
Yeah,
world class fucking athletes. How'd that happen?
So Scott, my brother Scott, lives down in the Raleigh area, North Carolina. He's always been a lifter ever since we were fucking in high school. Kids always been lifting weights, and yeah, he's passionate about training and stuff. And he hooked up with these NC State guys, and they come to his house and work out. He's got a garage, and they'd work out in his garage, and they still go to him.
Really?
Yeah.
That's how he's been.
Yeah, he's training young kids all the way up to professional athletes.
Really?
Yeah. 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 So he's just, he's passionate about it, and he improves these guys. He improves their speed and their strength, and he knows what he's doing.
I'm about to go on this weight loss journey. I just did it. I got down to 205. I was trying to crack 200. Then I went away, and it's like alcohol or drugs or anything else for me. If I eat a pizza and crack an ice cold bottle of Coca-Cola, it's like,
I'm with you. It's dieting's hard, man. Especially if you love to eat.
Yeah.
And pizza. I mean, fuck, I love pizza. Pasta, pizza, bread. Rice, love it all.
Rice.
Oh yeah. Love it all.
The money I spend going out to eat.
I know.
I can't cook. I don't eat in my fucking house.
I know. You know what you can do?
What's that?
Start meeting me at Collie and we'll start running stairs together.
Yeah, you've been doing it?
I did it today. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I got to. Got to stay in shape. Yeah, lug that bag around. It could be anywhere from 40 to 60 pounds every time you're
on
the court.
I know the first time I go there, I'll just be gassed and make it up fucking once or twice. But so what? You know what I mean? You got to start somewhere.
You think I'm judging?
Yeah.
I'm not judging. You start
nobody
somewhere.
Did. You're running around calling, huh?
Some of the new recruits are there, the cops, like the new recruits. That's where they train.
Cops love me.
Yeah,
except
the enemy. The enemy is training.
Joe, the enemy.
The enemy's training there. I see them, and this morning nobody was there.
Shout out Sid Tidsley. You know Sid?
No.
He wrestled out of Shawshin. He's playing at Harvard this year. But I thought of him because his father had him fucking running around the bowl there at Harvard. Right? When he first got in there, he was going there and running around the stage. He's always he's in unbelievable shape anyway. But that just made me think of him.
Yeah, I mean, it's less than a mile from my house. I throw on a weighted vest. Some days I'll walk up and down the stairs. Some days I'll run them. And yeah.
How long's the drive there?
To the.
That was a joke.
Oh. It's like I just.
I'd be driving to the stadium, running up the stairs and driving the mile.
I'll see you there tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe you will. The calf.
Oh yeah, you gotta be careful.
I don't know.
Careful. I don't want you to fucking drop
I was going for a massage the other day. He said, no, I know. What the fuck?
I don't want you fucking... I don't want that thing
to
go up
to... shit now. This blood thinner shit. I'm afraid to cut myself shaving. I'll probably bleed out. Yeah. I said to the doctor, so don't slice my wrist as a cry for help. It'll actually fucking bleed out. He goes, yeah, bad idea. So, yeah, that's... It feels better already, though. I mean, it was tight for like fucking 2-3 weeks. And it had me thinking, too, that the first time it happened, maybe that's when I first got it, that 21-hour flight.
Probably.
Where I flew coach because I was too cheap. First class is like $7,000.
To fly to China?
Japan. Yeah. Japan.
You got it. You should have spent it.
Yeah.
On the lay down. You get a nice lay down.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You ever do that? Never done it.
I have.
Yeah?
Oh, it's up to Hawaii. Yeah, it was fucking...
How long is the flight to Hawaii?
12 hours, I think.
Yeah, it's long enough to lay down.
Yeah.
I mean, in the old days, right?
I mean, so you were...
Couple Xanax and pound down some drinks.
Oh, yeah, you'd be out.
But now it's like dead sober. You're like, 20 hours.
How was the... was it bumpy? Was it a smooth flight or what?
I don't know. I think it was smooth. I don't fucking know. It must have been bumpy because I don't remember it, you know?
Did you... You didn't get up and walk around. They say to get up and walk around because of that shit.
Yeah.
You sit still for a while. It's not good.
Yeah. Apparently. Apparently
not. Don't go back.
What?
Don't go back.
No?
We're going to go back in November. This other guy, John, and his girlfriend want to go down, and they asked me and her to go down. And
to China? China?
Thailand. Then they're going to Vietnam, then Cambodia.
Yeah. My brother, Scott, the trainer's been to Vietnam. His daughter's Vietnamese. He adopted her. Yeah. So he was there for a few weeks, maybe even a month.
I guess Cambodia and Thailand are fighting now.
Big, like, oh, really?
Before. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd stay out of there too.
Some temple and stuff, you know? Maybe I'll go fight for the fuck. Thai army. But yeah. So I'm back in the gym.
That a boy.
And I got to stop drinking sodas and eating fucking garbage. You know, I feel like shit right after I eat.
Yeah.
Like it's like
good going down though, isn't it?
Yeah. Just like the booze and the, you know, endorphins. Yeah. Like, oh, steak and cheese with pepperoni.
Yeah. Give mayo, it to me. Yeah.
Soda and Doritos. And after you eat it, you just want to fucking
kill yourself.
Yeah. You want to jump off a fucking cliff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Why did I do that? Oh, I did it again.
Yeah. But getting back to you in football season, I can't believe it's already I mean, it's not here yet.
Oh, I love it. I mean,
you know, it sneaks up on you like, boom. It's like, you know, it seemed like it was just the Super Bowl, just like the winter does, right? We're in the summer, but now that August hits, you're like, oh, man, you know. They'll be back in school in 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter's already talking about it. She's going to be a senior. She works at Vespa Country Club.
Oh, does she?
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, she loves it.
She's going to be at Lowell High?
Yeah.
All right, nice.
Senior at Lowell High. And she's already talking about, oh, we're going to be back in school, you know. And it's like fucking, I mean, speaking of her, right, seems like I just got custody of her when she was in kindergarten. I got her at the end of kindergarten when I got her going to first grade. Now it's on. The ride's almost over, man.
I know. It's crazy. I know.
Yeah. Time flies.
I know.
But I can't believe football's here. So when does college start?
College is in
a week before NFL?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was a couple weeks before.
It's in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It doesn't sneak up on me. I can't wait for it to come because this like, you know, if you watch the Dynamite show, there's 162 games. And I know what I know. Like, baseball is tough to handicap. I don't do it. I have somebody do it for the show. They give out picks. Some of them are sanctioned. Yeah. And then hockey, I got a guy, you know, Gary Woodland, the golfer. Well, his caddy, the butcher, we call him. He's carving up the bookmakers. He does all the hockey. And then this guy I met at a DraftKings party, he does NBA. His name's Sweepy G. And he's been
He was on in baseball.
Yeah.
Like a month ago.
He's been doing well with baseball and basketball. But now that football's here, I don't really need those guys. I'd like to take control.
You got to lock in, do your thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now that, you know, it's pretty much legal everywhere.
Yeah.
Did PGA or anybody ever give you a hard time about giving out picks or talking about handicapping or gambling?
No, we can do, we can talk about all that stuff. Anything other than golf. We can't do anything golf related. And, you know, we sign documents and stuff like that. So I don't even mention golf on the show and or betting golf.
Yeah.
But the PGA Tour is, you know, they're in line with DraftKings, FanDuel, PointsBet. They're all part of the, you know, PGA Tour. There's ads. FanDuel ads, DraftKings ads. And I had a relationship with DraftKings this tour season where I carried their towel on the bag. So, you know, to clean the clubs and stuff.
He was a screw-in. Bill Ricker, his kid started DraftKings. Chet Kalish?
Kalish.
Yeah, Kalish.
Yeah. He's actually from Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Really?
The kid, yeah.
Yeah, he's he started DraftKings. Imagine that. He was a screw-in. Bill Ricker, his son. I think he retired, like, you know, right away.
He's up at the beach, I think.
Really?
Well, the father. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard a few guys run into him at the beach. And I mean, I think they just had a record quarter that brought in like $15 billion or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, I just got a text.
Holy shit.
Yeah, not too shabby.
Sports gambling's bigger than ever. You know?
$1.5 billion in revenue, up 37%. The company also turned a $158 million profit. Yeah, so.
Up almost 50%?
Everybody's gambling. Like I said, I mean, there's people gambling on the preseason games.
Yeah.
And you can gamble on anything on that site. You can, I didn't know this till a month ago.
The prop bets are what gets everyone.
You can gamble on pitch by pitch now, whether how fast it's going to be, ball or strike. I mean, it's insane what you can gamble on. Back in the day, right? People would just call you.
Yeah.
And it would
be. Cheese, parlay, flat bet.
action reverse.
Yeah, ain't I?
But when you were done, you were done. You'd hang up the phone and that'd be it.
Yeah.
Now you got live action. Yeah. You can bet as the game's going yeah, on. And
people
it's like
just sitting there with their phone in their hand.
Oh, yeah.
And can't help it. You can't enjoy the game.
No, can't help it. Can't help
it's,
it.
It's fucking, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
You got to be disciplined.
Bad for guys like me that used to take bets that lost all my guys to these fucks. I'm going to start up again.
They're still
right?
out there. There's yeah. still guys out there taking bets.
I'm going to get the kids at UMass Lowell. Bet with Bean Shooter. I'll give you a first $15 bet.
There you go.
Did I promote that on social media or with a fucking
I don't know if you know, the law would like that, but
yeah.
it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, right?
They're still out there. There's still guys taking action. Some guys don't want to bet with the DraftKings and the FanDuels of the world because they're afraid of taxes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always say, well, how many people win? They got to worry about taxes.
Yeah.
Not too many.
Yeah, not too many. You're already in tax with the fucking juice.
I mean, I don't know. To each their own. But I try and educate folks. And this younger generation, they love the parlays. And, you know, these bigger corporations, that's all they advertise is parlays.
Yeah.
Why do you think they do it?
Yeah. You fucking,
they're losers.
They're losers.
Parlays are losers, but these kids
and
love
the
to chase it.
Look so good. When I look, it'll be like Kansas City and,
yeah, yeah.
and over 32. Like, yeah, this yeah. is no way, you know,
oh, yeah.
that they do not cover this. Then they get smizzled in the Super Bowl.
I mean, my thought process is it's hard enough to win one game, and now you're trying to throw in another game to win.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm just a straight better. Just yeah. one game. Sometimes it's no games. You know, you just got to, it's like food. It's like anything else. Booze. You got to have discipline.
Yeah.
And it's hard for some people.
Yeah, it's very hard.
I've learned, when I was in college, I gave a kid my high school game jersey because I had no money.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I owed him, I don't know, $100 or something. I give him my shirt. I like your shirt. I give him my shirt.
Yeah.
And I was all square.
Yeah, we're good.
You know,
what's your biggest payday gambler yourself?
Nothing astronomical. A couple grand. Nothing big.
Yeah.
You know, you got some heavy players out there that bet big money, yeah. you know. But for me, it's entertainment.
Yeah.
If it goes any, if you're expecting more out of that, then you start getting pissed and frustrated. Yeah. And I just like to do what I do.
You know, I lost a lot of money one time, and I remember I was talking to Kevin Richardson. I should have invited him here. I got to have him and his kids come up here.
Oh, actually. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was losing my mind, you know, and I lost like 17 grand or something.
Oh.
I was fucking sick to my stomach.
And, yeah.
And he said, Mike, it's only money. It'll come back. And something that simple, right? It's only money. Like, it's easy to say it's only money. But you know what? It did take a little sting out of it. Like, you know what?
For the
world,
moment.
Like my
yeah.
health, my
yeah.
kid, everything's yeah. everything's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I lost this astronomical amount of money, right?
Was it over a course of like a week or
no,
like one weekend?
One,
oh, Jesus, but, Mary and Joseph. I mean, nothing used to piss me off more than handing over an envelope to a guy that didn't do a fucking thing.
Yeah.
Just sat, here you go.
Yeah.
It used to drive me nuts.
I'll tell you, same thing. And I think of it all the time with my drug addiction, right? Like I was, you know, I was a fiend, like they'd say, you know, waiting there to give this guy my fucking money. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I think back, you know,
mm-hmm.
fuck that. Fuck all that. March 17th was 12 years for me.
Oh, that's your
yeah.
St. Day?
Patrick's Day.
Holy
yeah.
shit. That's my buddy. That's my
St.
buddy's.
St. Patrick's Day.
That's my buddy's date, too.
Really?
Yeah, little Jordy Batesy. He does
oh,
my Jordy baseball.
Bates, yeah,
Jordy Batesy. That's his day.
Really?
Yeah, the 17th.
Mickey
yep.
Ward took me down to Florida, got me in rehab on that day in 2013, and I've been sober ever since.
What did you, if you don't mind me asking, did you, like, go to meetings or, like, what was it that made you say, okay, did you ever relapse?
No. I mean, I've relapsed 100 times. I tried getting sober many, many times.
Yeah, that's...
Since the last time, I haven't, you know, with the 12 years.
Yeah.
And I was just, you know, I was back at it. I was, you know, injecting heroin and cocaine on a daily basis. I was on the methadone clinic. I was eating Xanax and drinking booze on a daily basis the last time I got sober. So, you know, like the joke, oh, I was on everything but roller skates, you know?
Yeah.
Basically what was going on. So I was out on bail for a case, and I've detoxed many a times in jail and prison, but I'd never been on the methadone clinic when I went to jail. I remember seeing the guys, you know, cold turkey in the hole, because I'd always go to the hole and kick. I wouldn't want to be dealing with a cellmate while I'm puking and shit, and then up and down, up the bunk. And I just, you know, just say, you know, lug me to the hole if I got to fucking pull a stunt and do something. So, and I remember the guys on the methadone.
What would get you in the hole, if you don't mind me asking? I'm intrigued by it.
I'm refusing to lock in a cell. Like, they go, hey, you're going to live with, you know, this guy. No, I'm not locking in with him.
And then
you go in the hole.
All right.
So you're in a cell by yourself.
All right. You know. Yeah.
I remember one time there's a guy from Boston, Marvin Smith, black guy, and very well respected in prison. And he had a case where he unalived, you can't even say he you know, somebody in a barbershop in Mattapan, and he did 19 or 20, and he overturned the case. And I got arrested out in Worcester, Mass. And I was in the holding cell, and I look, and it was Marvin Smith. I knew him from Walpole, and I said, Mom? And he's like, yeah. And Marvin Smith was a guy that didn't really talk to white people. He just stuck with his own kind. But he was such like a hardcore, one of these old school, like now when you go to jail, it's mostly people who are doing drugs and broke in a house. But, you know, in the 80s and stuff, when you go into jail, it was like second story guys, safe crackers, you know, armored truck guys. It was like,
yeah.
It was like these old movies watching Alcatraz. These guys were just criminals.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't because of, you know,
right,
me, dope sick, snatching a purse, you know, like,
yeah,
these guys are like hardcore. And he was like one of these guys where if he saw like the police beating you up, even though you were white, if there was three of them like hitting you with billy clubs, he would jump in.
Yeah.
Like just because. Like this convict mentality, some older guys would understand what I'm talking about, or even young guys. I shouldn't just say older guys, but, you know, especially that older generation, right? Even they didn't see, like, when it was us against the cops, whether
yeah,
they were
right.
white or black. But other than that, he'd really, you know, talk to many white people. But I, you know, I liked the guy, and I was in the holding cell in Worcester, and they took us, and we're talking. They said, all right, let's go. They give you a bedroll, and they took us in this gym. And there was like, I don't know, you know, 100 bunk beds, all this basketball court floor, up, down. And it was probably 99.9% Spanish. And Spanish people are very loud.
Yeah, very loud.
You know?
Yeah.
And they're playing dominoes and slamming the table. And here's a guy, you know, I was with in Walpole. And Walpole, they got, you know, single cells. And they're pretty, it used to be a pretty regimented thing, like, oh, it's quiet time. You know, someone made noise, they get dealt with when you come out. It was like a, you know, it was a real crazy place, but it was a good place to do time if you understand what I'm saying. And he looked at me and I looked at him like, we're never gonna sleep in a gym like this with, you know.
Yeah.
You know, nothing against the Spanish, but you know, you can't, I'm not dealing with it. So we went walking up to the desk and you know, he says, yeah, we're not gonna stay in here. And the guy just laughs. He's like, yeah. I said, no, we're not gonna stay
here.
And he's like, yeah, you are. And I said, he said, man, no the fuck we're not. So then the kid, he was like a young kid. He's like, he called the captain over and he goes, you guys got no choice, you know. And I said, nah, man, we're not staying here. So you better figure it out right now. And he goes, is this your first time in jail? He said to Marvin, and Marvin said, no, I just did 20 straight. And he looked at me, he said, I'm not even going to ask you. You guys know the drill. He's like, take them, strip them down, give them their reds, you know, the red jumpsuit for the hole. You know, like,
oh, you got to change it. Yeah.
You wear a certain color.
Oh,
usually
right.
It's red, you know.
Oh, all right.
But yeah, it could be simple as that. You don't get to, you know, like punch somebody.
Yeah, all right.
Unless they really forced your hand, but you could basically just refuse a cell assignment
and then
something like that. But going back to my story, I've seen so many guys kick methadone and coming off heroin. You know, you don't sleep for a week, sometimes 2 weeks. It's like 30 days where you're struggling sleeping and you got no energy. It's really, very, really tough. You know, now they give you methadone and Suboxone in there. But I had that open case and I was so scared to kick methadone cold turkey because I knew I was going back to jail, to prison, you know. So I called up Mickey and Mickey got me in this place in Florida. And I flew down there and he picked me up at Fort Lauderdale Airport and drove me to the Florida house in Deerfield Beach, Florida, St. Patty's Day, 2013. That was the last time.
And then Yeah, no meetings or nothing? You just
When I was down there, I went to meetings. I mean, I was in a treatment for a month, and I was in sober houses, and that's when I first got the ideas of sober houses. I'm like, wait a minute, there's eight guys in this little fucking shotgun shack paying fucking $150 a week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's at $1,200 a week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's at $4,800 a month. It's a mortgage in this place, $300. That's my brain thinking, because I always sold drugs and did everything else. So that was my first idea for a sober house. Like, you know, I mean, it's right up my alley. I've been in, when I was a little kid, I was in foster homes, and I was in DYS, and, you know, 17 years old, I was in the House of Correction, rehabs and sober houses. So I've always been around guys playing cards, watching sports.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this fraternity.
Yeah,
almost,
it is. Yeah, it kind of is, right?
And yeah, and the sober houses in Florida, I made a lot of friends down there, a lot of kids from New York and Philly and Jersey and Florida and all around. And you know, I had a blast down there. And I remember I was in the sober house. It was like 2-3 months after I got out of the rehab. And all of a sudden there's a knock on the door, and it's Mickey. And another guy, I know him from back in Lowell, and they're like, yeah, this isn't a friendly visit. This is a fucking wellness check. I'm like, let me see your eyes. You know, they're looking at me. I'm like, no, I'm like,
you good?
I'm good. Yeah. I said, I'm sober. And I'm like, he's like, how long have you been sober? One of the guys, Tucker. And I was like, oh, only 60 days. And I always remember what he said to me, even though he said some other stuff afterward. We don't get along too much after that. We're a little falling out. But he says to me, don't say only 60 days. He said, it's hard for guys like us to stay sober 60 seconds.
Yeah.
He's like, be proud of yourself.
Yeah, you've been off the shit
for fucking 60 days. You know? And I say that to other people now, and they say, oh, you've been sober 12 years. Oh, I'm only sober a month. They say, hey, don't say that.
Yeah.
It's a big deal, man.
It is.
It's a fucking big deal. I know. And
because our brain thinks too far ahead. Like, oh my God, I'm going to be sober for the rest of my life. How am I going to go to a birthday party? How am I going to go to a wedding and not drink? How am I going to do this? And that's how our brain works, at least mine did. But you just, you know, the old adage, you take it one day at a time. And then good things started to happen when I was sober. And I'm like, well, why would I want this to stop? So I just decided not to drink
or drug. When you realize, like, I mean, well, to touch on what you just said, I never thought I could have fun being sober. And I had more fun down there in Florida. Yeah. Me and my friend Pete Sikoriak from Staten Island, we call him Pete Dub, right? Pete the Wreck. We were going to the W Hotel in Fort Lauderdale, sneaking into the rooftop parties and the pool. And little did I know, that's when I first got on social media down there on Snapchat. All these guys that own these sober houses would follow everybody, and they would see us. And they'd be waiting for us to urinate us when we got back. And they're running back in with breathalyzers. I'm like, I'm sober. And they're seeing me. They're like, there's no way.
Yeah.
And I was having the time of my life. We were on South Beach. We're in Fort Lauderdale. We're in the W Hotel. We're in the Pelican Grand. We're everywhere down there. We're going to live. Like, you know, we were running around like a nut. And I had more fun that first year down there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had never left Lowell in the Boston area, really. You know, when I first went down there, I didn't even believe them when they said, you know, I'm like, oh, you guys go swimming on Christmas? They're like, yeah, we go to the beach in December. And I'm like, yeah, sure you do. I didn't realize.
Yeah,
you know?
When
I was down there on Christmas Day
there's
swimming,
no snow down there.
It was a great, it was the greatest thing ever. And it was tough coming back, but, you know, I had to do what I had to do, you know, and come back and started fighting for custody of my daughter, which I eventually won. And like you said, good things start happening.
Yeah. And you don't want it to end.
Yeah.
You know, so you just stay sober. There's bad days where you can fight through them, especially early on, you know, in sobriety, and then you just get through them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, life's a lot better. I mean, I wouldn't be here talking to you, that's for sure.
Yeah. I wouldn't be here talking to you.
Yeah.
I don't think there'd be any fucking podcast.
No, you know? Probably not.
But we got to start doing a weekly thing. You want a couple picks? What are we going to do?
Weekly picks? Yeah, I'll give them out during football season. I'd love to. Yeah. Either I could call in from the road.
Yeah. Collaborate in a post. Maybe do a split screen, something. We're going to talk about it tonight.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that that I did last year was I had, during college football, I had a PGA Tour player. I would pick five games, random games, and they would handicap the five games, and I'd put them out on the show, on my Dynamite show. So we had Harry Higgs and Ben Coles ended up tying. They both went 4-1, and Ben Coles ended up beating them in a playoff pick 'em during bowl season. So we gave him a custom Dynamite Lululemon sweatsuit for winning. But we're going to do it again this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, happy to have somebody call in to the podcast, or I could do it either way.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Well, he's people that don't know, his Instagram is just Dynamite Dean Emerson, right?
The Dynamite Show.
The Dynamite Show.
Yeah, on Instagram.
He has, you know, a little shtick he does when he's in his sports lab.
You got it. Yeah.
He's got his own little microphone there, like the boom box with the, right? What is it?
Well, we try and make it fun. I stole it from my wife's sister's daughter. it was this little microphone she got for Christmas. She had two of them, and I took one to the sports lab, so I use that. it's not like this. It lights up and shit. Yeah. But yeah, we try and have some fun.
Game up, Justin. You know.
Yeah, we try and have a little fun.
Yeah, the Dynamite Show and Dean. I just want to thank you for coming on, and I want to thank you everything you do. For the guys in the Sober House and me, you're very generous with me. You're always, I got to find a way to make the hats. I can have some hats made myself. Maybe you can plug me in.
Yeah, I can steer you in the right direction, sure.
But he always donates. I mean, Dean is he's a very sharp dresser. He's always got fucking all kinds of nice sneakers. Well, he's casual sportswear, but he is. He's got a flair to him. He's got some panache. Right?
That's you a like big that word. One?
Panache.
Where'd that come from?
Like
that's a sober word.
P-A-N-A-C-H-E.
You never
would have
come up with that one if you weren't sober.
Google it. No, he's got a, you know, he's always donating like sneakers. So Justin, I learned after just dropping the first bag off at the Sober House to go through it first.
You got some nice shorts.
Oh, the polo shorts that are like the powder blue with the white in the clouds.
Oh, yeah. You like those, huh? Those your favorite?
Yeah, more comments on those shorts.
Good.
And a lot of... I'm wearing a pair of your golf shorts right now.
Yeah.
What are these ones?
Those are Red Vanleys.
Red Vanleys.
Yeah, they're like gym shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they get the short pockets. Yeah. You gotta be careful. If you got money or a phone.
Yeah, you with all your dough falling out.
You're the one with all the dough.
No, I don't have a nickel.
You drop that fucking wallet, it'll put a hole in the floor, Dean. This guy lives in the nice part of all. I'm in the Yankee. He's in Belvedere.
Yeah.
If I even drag down the street there, the fucking alarms go off.
Horns, everybody's alarms go off.
But Dynamite Dean, always donating stuff to the guys in the house. Always generous. Just a great guy, you know, a great guy. And I'm glad I called you. I know it was last second.
No, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah.
Thanks,
good
buddy.
Stuff. I know it's past your bedtime.
It is. It's past usually 7:30.
What do we got for a Braintree score?
Extra innings, 2-2 still.
Oh, boy.
Jesus.
We're going to have to throw that on and catch the end of it.
Any shout-outs you want to do? Anything you want to mention?
No, not really. No, just watched the Dynamite Show this football season. Really, stay tuned for winners.
Yeah, and I want to do a little something with you. We do something once a week.
We'll give out a weekly pick or something on the weekend, Saturday or Sunday.
All right.
Or a Monday night game.
All right. We'll do something.
We'll do something.
Instagram post something. And we'll collaborate.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That'd be great.
And I appreciate you because you're the fucking brains. I'll just be flipping a coin, you know?
How do you handicap?
Yeah.
How did you handicap back in the day? Would you just flip a coin, or you're like, oh, I like the Pats?
My father had the New York Post, the Daily News, and the Boston Herald. I'd be like, Dad, who you like this week?
That's
how I would handicap.
Yeah. So your dad would give you the play.
Yeah. Always.
Yeah, all right.
Always.
All right.
You know, and then as he
is
got
he
older,
pretty good?
He's
pretty
too, good. Yeah, he was always good.
Shop.
Not a parlay guy. Not
right.
He's got a flatbed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's simple.
Yeah, that was him. That was him all the way.
Does he still do it?
And then, not really. Then the last probably 10 years, all he would watch on TV, then they changed the cable things.
All he would watch
was the VSiN network. He loved those guys, Paulie Howard and those guys.
Yeah.
Those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So he's always just always big college football. He was a bookie his whole life too, but he always gambled too, you know, a little bit, like a couple of games, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But he'd always have a couple games he liked during the week. He'd study it, you know. When I was a little kid, there was a store, Palmer News. It's on Appleton Street. It's, what is it, Lemon Tree now?
Yeah, Lemon Tree.
Whatever
the
hell it is now. But it was like the old newsstand. And he used to send me down there, you know, with 75 cents or a dollar and quarters. And I'd get the New York Daily News, the New York Post, and the Boston Herald.
And he'd do his studying.
Yeah, and he'd do
his studying. Now you can do it all online.
And then I'd see him on the weekend sometimes. And he'd have two phones, ringing, taking the bets. And
he'd have
the jelly paper and the flash paper where he'd have a bucket of water there. So if they kicked in the door, it would dissolve, you know?
Yeah.
And they actually kicked in the door on Super Bowl Sunday and dragged him on cuffs one year.
Are you shitting me?
Oh, yeah. True story. Yeah. Yep. And he didn't have it that day because it was the last game of the year.
What the and, fuck?
He always says it. He goes, I was in the fucking holding cell and the cops were coming in, you know. The Raiders were in the Super Bowl that year. So when was that?
Oh, 80? My God. Yeah.
One? 80? Google it. What were the Raiders in the Super Bowl?
Late 70s?
The Raiders?
Yeah. Well, they had Rich Gannon was there, but he's probably going way back, like when Stabler and John Kenny Madden Stabler, was there.
The Snake, probably.
When Cliff Branch returned that one for a touchdown, he picked one off and ran it to the touchdown. Oh, yeah, Stingley.
I was watching that game. What were the Raiders in the Super Bowl? What do we got, Justin?
84 and 81.
Definitely 81. I remember all the kids were talking about it in school because my father was in the fucking newspaper.
Jeez.
Yep. Good old Tommy Lee.
But he doesn't bet anymore. He doesn't like...
Yeah, he's still... I mean, last year, of course he does. He still bets.
A little bit.
Yeah. He's fucking getting old now, though. You know?
I know. We're moving my dad down to North Carolina.
He's going to be 83.
Yeah, my dad's 81.
Yeah.
And then we actually next week got to move him down to North Carolina because not great. Not great. He's got cancer and I'm always on the road, so I can't really dedicate a lot of time. And the rest of my family's down in North Carolina or Chicago. So we're going to move him down to North Carolina and he's going to stay with my brother.
Good shit, man.
Yeah. Maybe my brother will get him in the gym training and stuff.
My father still gets up at 4:30 in the morning and goes to the gym every morning.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Hour good and for half him.
The gym. Then when he comes home, he goes for a walk.
Where does he go? Best Fitness or the Y or something?
Right up by Drum Hill. He used to go to Y forever.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
What's that choice?
Good for
best?
Him.
Best, right?
Yeah.
Up there? Yeah.
Good for him.
Just the Best Fitness. Yeah, he's guy's an animal. He always has been. So when he can't go to the gym and he goes to the bar every day and has a few beers, 3:30, comes home about 6:30. That's his
gig. Yeah,
and
yeah.
And washes my clothes. Yeah. I'll never leave there. I don't pay rent. Fucking riding this one up till the fucking till the cows come home.
Do my laundry, Dad. Clean my soiled panties.
All right, Dynamite D.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You,
Thanks.
Man. It was awesome.
Thanks a lot.
And 62 in the books, Justin. Go Patriots. If you're wearing a mask out there, if a sheriff's gonna get you. He always shoots from the hip. For iced coffee, take a sip. Toss it.